Good morning. Today's scripture reading is going to be from the New King James Version, and it will be Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. I marvel that you are so removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As he said before, so may I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men, or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
Good evening, or good morning. Good morning. I'm a little tired. Rod kept me up late last night. We were at his house today, or yesterday. Man, I can't get anything straight right now. Let's start over. In a few weeks, on October 31st, we're going to be having what is called Trunk or Treat. So I want to say happy October to everyone. It's October 1st. But at the very end of this month, we're going to be holding a trunk or treat. And basically what that is while all the kids and the people of the community are going around to the people's doors asking for candy, we're going to be in this parking lot with a bunch of cars decorated. And the idea is something like this, where you can decorate your car, you can have a bunch of candy in the trunk, and kids will come by and trick-or-treat for the candy, and you give it to them. And it's a fun time had by all. A lot of times, these become almost like fall carnivals as well. And hopefully, we'll have some games. If anyone here has a cornhole set, we could definitely use it, or anything along those lines. The hope for this event is that we can, again, show the community that we're here. Show the community that we're not just some random building to walk by every day, but we are a church, we are a family that wants to get to know them, and hopefully we can make some really good contacts with them and add to the contacts we've already started to make with the apartments and the people and the kids who live around us, who really, a lot of them probably aren't so sure we're here. And so hopefully this can do some good. If you are able to help, there are a couple of things. Number one, as I think was already announced this morning, we could definitely use some donated candy. So if you could start buying those big bags of candy and bring them to the church building, we'll store them in the fellowship hall, and hopefully we can get enough to have backup. And then secondly, if you have the ability to be here on October 31st, we would definitely like it if you would come and decorate a car. And the idea is you decorate your car and you dress up yourself, and we'd make it family friendly, of course, and we hopefully will all have some fun together. There's also an opportunity if you want to kind of put together a carnival game. I mentioned cornhole, but there's others, there's cakewalks, there's things like that. So if you're able to help in any way, there is a sign-up sheet on the back table. It's kind of hidden behind the small group sign-ups. But please go and fill that out. We need as much support in this effort as possible, and hopefully we can have a great time and make some good contacts. So that's my announcement for the day. Now let's get into the lesson. Who here recognizes this? I'd say most of us do, right? Okay, we're talking about Facebook, right? There's kind of the up or the down. Now, there's not generally a dislike, is there? But there is a way to react now. They've kind of added to it. But did you know that Facebook started off really as a website that was a lot less complicated? It really started off as a website called FaceMash. And apparently what this website was they would put two people next to each other, two pictures next to each other, one of one person and on the other side another. And they would basically vote on who's hot and who's not. Okay, that's not the nicest of websites, obviously, but then of course it transformed into what it is today. And I would encourage everyone here to go on to Facebook, find the church Facebook page and like it. Because those thumbs up really help, really with advertising. We want to get out there and we want to advertise our church, make sure people know we're here, right? But obviously Facebook didn't start off with really the nicest of mentalities. But still, that like is an important feature to the website. And I want to do something this morning. I want to start by having a little experiment for just a moment. But it's going to involve your participation. So if I could have everybody kind of hold their thumb out like this for me. I'm going to be showing some pictures on the screen, and I'm going to ask you to either put your thumb up if you like it, or put your thumb down if you dislike it, okay? That's simple enough, right? Okay, so, ice cream sundae. I have a big thumbs up for that one, okay? What about Ford Mustang Boss? This is my dream car right here. Hint, hint. No, but this is a car I love. Maybe that's not your thing. Oh, I see some thumbs down, but that's okay. We all have our opinions. Okay. What about waiting at the DMV? Who likes that? I would say no to that. Okay. That's a big dislike. Okay. What about flying on airplanes? There's some positive and negative, right? I would say I don't like it when I'm on there, but I'd much rather do that than drive across the country. Who likes going through security, though? That's a big thumbs down. Okay. Who wants a nice juicy steak? Some of you might think it's too rare. Some of you might not like meat. Okay, what about this? Okay. In all seriousness, imagine for a moment that I were to put your face up here. And I were to ask you, and not just you, but I were to ask the whole group, the whole congregation, to give a thumbs up or a thumbs down. How would you feel in that? You wouldn't feel very good, would you? You'd feel pretty nervous about it. Maybe you'd want to cover your eyes. Maybe you'd kind of not want to even be in the room. Because that's kind of a nerve-wracking situation, right? You know, I thought very hard about putting a picture of Rod up here because I got a picture with him last night. But I didn't know how I'd react, so I chickened out. But imagine if you were asked, or if your picture was up there, and I asked everyone to give their opinion. Wouldn't be very nice, would it? We'd be nervous. The problem is, in our lives, I think, in essence, a lot of us live our lives that way. A lot of us live our lives looking around us at the people we work with, at our friends, at our family, at anyone we come in contact with, and we see a thumb that's sideways, and we really hope it goes up. But if it starts to go down, we get nervous, and we start trying to change the way we act so that they will then point their thumb up. Because a lot of us live for the like. A lot of us live for that thumbs up, and we will change our own actions and our own way of living just to get that thumbs up. There are people all over the country who change their very mentalities, who change the way they look at the world so that society around them will give them a thumbs up. Because there are certain things in society that society really loves, aren't there? But that we as Christians have to give the thumbs down on. And when we as Christians don't partake in some of these events or some of these sins, a lot of times we will get a thumbs down. Or when we speak out against a sin and we say that something is a sin, oh, that gets a big thumbs down from society. Because according to society, it's all about thumbs up or thumbs down. There are many people who are driven by what other people think. And let me ask you this, are you one of those people? Are you driven by whether or not somebody will give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down? Because I propose that if you are driven by what other people think, then you're not going to be able to live as yourself. And you're not going to be able to live for God. The scripture that was read just before the lesson states it plainly, and we're going to get into that in just a moment. Go ahead and turn to Galatians chapters 1 and 2. We're going to be looking at really the first two chapters. But I want us to really think about this. Our culture has some likes and some dislikes. Are you driven by what other people think? Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Now, Paul here is writing to, he's writing to a region, not just a town. A lot of times we think of these letters in the New Testament as written to a town. But really, he's writing to a region here, that entire region of Galatia. And you can see that on his missionary journeys, he traveled through there several times. And to give a little background, when you look at what happened when he went through this region, a lot of horrible things happened to him. In fact, there were a lot of angry Jews in this region. For one reason or another, they were very aggressive. Now, we understand after the great dispersion, when the persecution of Israel happened with, you know, the Babylonians and so on, a lot of the Jews were spread throughout the known world. And so there were Jews and there were synagogues really in every town that Paul ran across. Even though he was going through, you know, Asia Minor there and going through Greece, he ran across a lot of Jews. But for one reason or another, these Jews in Galatia were very aggressive toward him. They followed him around, screaming at the top of their lungs that he was a blasphemer. They even went so far to follow him all the way to Lystra, and they stoned him. They tried to kill him. Now, of course, by the grace of God, he walked away from that. But that just gives us a little bit of background as to what might be going on here in Galatia when Paul is writing to this region. Now, he's hoping that this letter gets passed around between the towns. And really, that gives us some great insight when we see in chapter 1, verse 6. He says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you receive, he is to be accursed. He says it twice because it's important. And really, that should be a good indicator for us all. You know, there are a lot of people in the world today, a lot of people even in my position, who claim to be able to state new revelation of Christ. Say, God spoke to me, and this is what he said. And sometimes it even goes against what the scripture says. We need to understand, according to Paul, even if an angel were to fly into this room and tell us a gospel contrary to what's in this book, he is to be accursed. We are not to listen. That should be a strong indicator for us. But Paul goes into really the motive as to why people are listening, why people are changing, and why they're starting to listen to this perversion of the gospel. Look at verse 10. It says, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. Look at that last part again. If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. You cannot be a people pleaser and a God pleaser at the same time. The two are incompatible. You cannot live your life based on what other people think and also live your life based on God's law and what God says on matters. I spoke on this issue a few Wednesday nights ago, and I really felt like it needed some expansion and some maybe even more depth for this discussion, because I think there's a lot of people out there who think they can do both. I think there are a lot of people who think that making people like you perhaps is more important. And we need to understand that what people think, really that is nothing in comparison to what God thinks. It's not this or this, it's this. Okay? Let's do that together. Hopefully this helps you remember. It's not this or this. It's this. We look to God for our self-esteem. We look to God for our approval in life, not to other people. Paul gives us a better example of this in chapter 2. Go ahead and look at chapter 2 now. We're going to start in verse 11. Paul really, he gives two examples here. One man who really thought about what other people thought of him, who really let that change the way he acted, and then another man who really didn't. And the first example is Peter, the Apostle Peter. Look at verse 11 there of chapter 2. It says, "But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned." Now we need to understand Cephas here is Peter. Okay? This is the great apostle that we think of. We think of him as a leader. He's the one who spoke on the day of Pentecost, the first gospel sermon, we call it. Here Peter is condemned. So you ask yourself, well, how did Peter get into this situation? How is Peter condemned? Well, Paul explains. Look at verses 12 and 13. He says, For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. Now that party of the circumcision are a group of people we call Judaizers. And basically the idea is, it's this angry group of Jews that we're talking about. These are Jews that have been converted to Christianity, and yet they're unwilling to let go of their old practices. And they want to hold on to some of those practices. And what's even worse, they are trying to make the Gentiles, anyone who's not a Jew, they're trying to make them live like a Jew first before they can become a Christian. So if you're a young Gentile man, you have to be circumcised before you can become a Christian. That's why they're called the party of the circumcision here. They were so married to their old law, to the practices of the old law, that they couldn't let go, and they couldn't allow other people to let go. Now Peter, I think we can all agree, Peter had an ego problem sometimes. It says Peter was doing fine. He was eating with the Gentiles. In fact, he was the first to preach to the Gentiles, we remember in Acts, speaking to Cornelius and Cornelius' household. So Peter knew what was right. Peter knew that the Gentiles were now a part of the group. And yet it says when certain people from James came, and these are Jews, he started to withdraw. He started to realize, you know what? These Jews, their thumbs are starting to go down. I don't want them to think less of me. I'm the great apostle. I'm the great leader of the apostles. I don't want people to think down on me. So I'm going to stop eating with the Gentiles. In fact, we look at verse 13. It says, "The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy." So what's really sad about this is because Peter was such an influential man, an influential figure in the group, he starts leading other people astray. Why? Because other people, even Barnabas, and you could practically feel the shock in Paul's voice when he says, even Barnabas. Remember, Barnabas is the one who first welcomed Paul. His name means son of encouragement. But Paul says, even Barnabas was taken away. Because Barnabas saw Peter as this great leader and saw the thumb might go down. He said, you know what? I want Peter to like me. So he followed along. Our urge to be liked by other people leads us into sin sometimes. And it can lead us to be condemned. And not only can it lead us to be condemned, it can lead other people into condemnation. We can take others along with us, as Peter did. If you are influential, and all of us are influential among a certain group of people, if you are so worried about what other people think, you need to remember, there are people out there who are worried about what you think. And it's so easy for us all to stray away from the truth together because we're so concerned with what other people think. Are you like Peter? Or are you like the second example? Are you like Paul? Paul says, verse 14, "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in the presence of all, if you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, How is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of Jesus, by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified, but if, while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Now there's a lot of doctrine that we could unpack here, and really that's a sermon for another time. Obviously, what he's saying is you're justified by faith, not by works. Stop trying to hold other people to the Jewish practices, especially if you're not going to hold them to yourselves, right? But then he says, verse 21, he really adds such strength to his argument here. He's talking to Peter face to face, and he says, why did Christ die if you're still beholden to the old law? What's the point? Did Christ die needlessly? And really, Peter has no response to that. And I think we can see that this was a great moment that really shifted Peter's position. But even though there's a lot of doctrine in there, I want us to take from it the main point that we've been discussing. Look at how much Peter cared about what other people thought. Did he care? Not really. I think perhaps the reason is because when he joined the church, he was joining a group of people that were terrified of him. He had been a persecutor. He had been one who tried to arrest Christians, tried to have them killed. So of course, when he joined the church, they were afraid of him. They were scared. They thought of he was just trying to infiltrate their numbers. He was used to not being popular. Another reason he was unpopular is because he was called the apostle for the Gentiles. He's going out there trying to help those who aren't Jews. Paul wasn't concerned with what other people thought. And that's why he's here in front of everyone, willing to stand against the great Peter. Right? We know about how people looked up to Peter, how Peter was this great leader. He was leading other people astray. But Paul didn't worry about any of that. He wasn't worried about all the people around them, whether or not their thumbs would go up or down. He instead thought to himself, I'm going to be concerned with what is right. And so before everyone, he told Peter off. Now who do you think was more popular? Which of the apostles, Paul or Peter? Obviously, we here today, a lot of us are Gentiles. A lot of us read the script, you know, we read the Bible, and the majority of the New Testament is from Paul's hand. So I think we kind of forget how unpopular Paul was. Versus Peter, the great leader. But Paul wasn't concerned with that. Nor should we be. We cannot live our lives so concerned with what other people think. And when we let go of that, it's freeing. And we can start to live the way we ought to live. We can start to live as ourselves, not these fake masks that we present to other people. So let's apply this idea to our lives. Think about the relationships you have with other people. It's so easy to be concerned with what your wife or your husband thinks. To be concerned with what your friends or your family think, to be concerned with what your coworkers or your boss thinks. But which opinion matters most? Go ahead and I'll ask if you would please repeat this statement after me. God's opinion matters most. God's opinion matters most. If we could remember that, we will live the way we ought to live. We need to stop looking around and watching for the thumbs and start pointing upwards and remember God's opinion matters most. His approval matters most. Because what we need to realize is that when it comes to the gospel of Christ, most people in the world have their thumbs down. It's just a sad fact of life. You know, a few years back, and this is an example I've used in other sermons before, but a few years back, there was a musical that came out on Broadway, and it was called The Book of Mormon, and really there was one particular song in there that I'm not going to get into exactly what it said, but it's very explicitly curses God in the song. Now we understand there are things that come out of Hollywood, there are things that come out of, you know, Broadway, there are things that come out as entertainment that are anti-God. But we need to realize this is not one show. This is not one random off-Broadway show that no one saw. This was a very popular show. This, in fact, it won Best Musical at the Tony Awards and Best Soundtrack, which, of course, is Broadway's big award ceremony. The critics loved it, but it also received praises from all around the world. Okay, this is a popular show that very explicitly curses God, and really there are many other examples I could have used. But we need to realize this attitude is popular in our society. Being anti-Christ, anti-God is popular. So if we're concerned with what people think, then we better just leave the church entirely. Jesus says it very plainly in John chapter 15, starting in verse 18. He says, "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." The world crucified Jesus. How do we expect them to act toward his followers? You know, we understand this. We understand that the world dislikes Christianity. We understand that our faith is going to be mocked. But we need to understand that, at least here in America, we're in a better situation than many of the first century Christians were in. Because many first century Christians were brought into the Colosseum. They were brought before a Roman audience, a bloodthirsty audience, where an actual, literal thumbs up or thumbs down situation was happening. And the idea was, and there's some debate among scholars as to whether or not it was literally a thumbs up versus a thumbs down. But what we do know is that there was some kind of indication of good or bad using a thumb. And that if the audience had their thumbs up, the people could live. But if the audience had their thumbs down, that was a sign of execution. And countless Christians died for their faith because they weren't concerned about what was up or down. They instead decided, I'm not going to worry about up or down. I'm going to worry about what God thinks. It is His approval that I need. If we could all have that same mentality, if we could all have that be the driving force in our lives, we will begin to act the way we ought to act. And we will live for God rather than other people. It's impossible to be a people pleaser and a God pleaser at the same time. God's opinion matters most. So as we go through the rest of this week, I hope that you will, when you face situations where people are demanding you do one thing or another, that you would stop worrying about what approval they might give you. I hope that we will together encourage each other to instead be wholly concerned only with God and His approval. Let's do that together. If there's anyone here this morning who has struggled with this, if you have struggled with what other people think, and maybe that's been your driving factor, maybe you didn't realize it until now, but maybe that's been your driving factor in life for many, many years now. I hope that you can change that now. Or if you're here this morning and you've not yet obeyed the gospel, we want to give you the opportunity to do that as well. Please come, whatever your need is, as we stand and as we sing.